Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Tuesday, May 7th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. May is National Bike Month, and cycling advocates in Sitka have prepared a slate of activities to help residents gear up for the summer riding season. In 2008, Sitka became the first community in Alaska to be named a bike-friendly community by the League of American Bicyclists. Doug Osborne, a health educator at Search, was instrumental in winning that recognition. He still considers the bike a good way to combine exercise and environmental awareness with basic utility.
In the way that the bike's the most efficient machine ever made, it's also one of the most efficient ways to get around because you're really checking a lot of boxes. So when I get over to Search, I've gotten at least, 15 minutes of physical activity. I've got some fresh air. I've had some fun. It's a nice stress-reducing thing. And I've gotten from point A to point B.
Osborne represents the Sitka Bicycle Friendly Community Coalition, which has plans events for the entire month. Residents are encouraged to log their miles online with the National Bike Challenge to earn points for themselves or their teams. Wednesday, May 8th is National Bike to School Day, and National Bike to Work Week begins on May 13. On Friday of that week, bikers who pedal over the bridge to UAS will be treated to a free pancake and egg breakfast beginning at 7:30. If these incentives aren't enough, Osborne says riders can just enjoy not spending money on their cars for a whole month.
The biggest savings that people are sitting on is what we spend in personal transportation. Nationwide, Americans on average spend somewhere around like 14% of their income, a huge amount, because it's car dependent. Cars are so expensive in so many ways.
Osborne says that dedicated bike commuters realize huge savings over driving, savings that can add up in a dramatic fashion.
People who can ride, you're sitting on a lottery ticket. If you were to turn that in and just try it for a year, it's a $4,000 or $5,000 turnaround a lot of times.
Osborne has the benefit of experience to back up these claims. He's been an all-weather bike commuter since moving to Sitka. In fact, moving to Sitka was the catalyst for the change in his driving habits. The relative nearness of everything, the friendliness of the drivers, the good roads all helped him tip towards becoming a full-time rider.
Well, I've had a bike kind of since college in Fort Collins, but in terms of being a bike commuter, it was really in Sitka. When I lived in East Anchorage, I was doing the car commute, which if you didn't time it right, you could be in stop-and-go traffic for half an hour, 40 minutes. So when I became a commuter biker, it was really in Sitka when I came here 10 years ago.
For more information on National Bike Month events in Sitka and links to the Sitka Bicycle Friendly Community Coalition, the League of American Bicyclists, and the National Bike Challenge, visit our website at kcaw.org. The Alaska Marine Highway System is celebrating its 50th birthday this month. The main event was an anniversary sailing of the ferry Malaspina from Ketchikan to Skagway. 360 North TV joined the floating event and recorded passengers talking about the system's earlier years. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld has the first in a series of those interviews.
Bob Pickrell moved to Ketchikan a few years before the ferry system started up. Once it began, it became a part of his life as a writer, newspaper man, timber advocate, and political leader. He remembers what travel was like before the ferries arrived.
The only mode of transportation into Ketchikan was landing on a net island, which is 25 miles away on an Indian reservation, getting into either a Grumman Goose or a PBY to fly over and land on the water in Ketchikan, which scared the heck out of a lot of people when they saw the water cascading beside their window.
The Ketchikan resident was a leader in Wally Hickel's 1990 campaign for governor. He remembers chartering the ferry Columbia so he could bring supporters to the inaugural ball in Juneau.
We lined up 200 people in Ketchikan, Wrangell, and Petersburg, and we had the boat all to ourselves for 4 days. We took off with the big band. This was the big jazz band, Glenn Miller type music and the like, that was also, we talked while he ended, taking up with us to play at his inaugural ball. And left in the evening, arrived in Juneau the next morning after picking up passengers in Wrangell and Petersburg. And the contingent, the governor and others came. We had a reception aboard, and it remained our hostel.
Pickrell says it was a comfortable arrangement until it came time for the formal celebration.
We moored at the dock, and the boat went up and down, but the dock didn't, so just about the time you were supposed to head for the inaugural ball. If you weren't aboard ship, forget it. You couldn't get back around the gangway because the ship was just not in the position now by reason of tide. So our tuxes and everything remained aboard, and we red rubber booted to the inaugural ball. And in Alaska, nobody cares.
Pickerel, now 83, ran a monthly regional newspaper with a section called Fairy Tales. One of his favorites came from a purser. He can't remember the ship or the name, watching a passenger behaving oddly.
It was a particularly hot day, and it was warm. These ships are warm. And this purser was watching this guy with his black garbage bag, and he was near the doorway. And he saw this guy run outside, and then he'd run back inside. And then a little while later, he'd run outside again with his black garbage sack, and then he'd run back in. And he finally figured out the guy was running out, filling it up with air, and trying to make his stateroom cooler. And that's a true story.
That's Bob Pickerel, a retired Ketchikan newspaper man, timber advocate, and political leader. With Kelly Birkinshaw on the Malaspina, this is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
The Shakes Island rededication was a special time for many people, but for one Ketchikan couple, it marked the beginning of a new life together. KSTK's Shady Grove Oliver has the story.
Hi, I'm Sanu Gaw, Gianna Willard.
Hi, I'm Ganach Ayayada, Tim Flannery.
These are two paddlers with the One People Canoe Society. They came to wrangle on the Raven Canoe. Despite a long journey, a lost and found canoe, and bad weather along the way, they were all smiles when they hit land on Thursday. Their canoe came ashore, as expected. They got off, pulled out their paddles, and then Flannery pulled out something unexpected.
Well, first he, tore off his hat and then said my name, and I was like, I turned around, I'm like, okay, like, what do you want me to hold? Like,
much to Willard's surprise, Flannery pulled a small, soggy, saltwater-logged box out of his pocket. Inside was a diamond engagement ring. Flannery says he knew this trip was the perfect time to propose.
Things like this event, it doesn't happen very often. And to be a part of it is something special.
They've both paddled on other canoe journeys before. Willard says paddling brings her closer to her Haida culture.
It's, you know, about carrying on the tradition. I like to be a good role model just so when the other little kids see, you know, they can look up and be like, oh, look, there's that girl. She's so into her culture. I want to be just like that.
But for both Willard and Flannery, paddling is about more than just tradition. It's helped them both change their lives in an incredible way.
He's been tobacco and alcohol-free since July, since the journey in Washington last year. And I've been sober for 3 years. Well, it'll be 3 years in July 4th, so almost 3 years.
The One People Canoe Society holds sobriety as one of its key principles. Flannery says Willard was the person who helped him choose sobriety. Through her encouragement and his passion for paddling, he's on a new path. And now they'll continue to walk that path together in the future.
You know, it helped me sober up and everything. She did, actually. If it wasn't for her, you know, I wouldn't be who I am today. And she makes me completely happy.
Ending on a happy note, in Wrangell, I'm Shady Grove Oliver.
The University of Alaska Southeast held commencement ceremonies at its three campuses in Sitka, Ketchikan, and Juneau over the weekend. At the Juneau campus on Sunday, Chancellor John Pugh said UAS would award nearly 700 degrees, certificates, and occupational endorsements in 2013. He said the regional university model benefits communities throughout Southeast and around the state.
UAS has been able to reach out to communities throughout Alaska with e-learning programs to provide access to hundreds of students who would not have had the opportunity to attend college if there were not for these programs that reach out all over Alaska and the lower 48 and even the world.
This year's commencement keynote speaker was former KTOO General Manager Charles Northrup, who received an honorary doctorate from the university for his accomplishments in the field of broadcasting. Northrup is currently working to set up independent media operations in war-torn Sudan and South Sudan with Education Development Center's Sudan Radio Service. He previously did similar work in Bosnia. Northrup quoted comedian George Carlin in his message to graduates.
George said, "People who dance are considered insane by people who can't hear the music.
Northrop challenged graduates to hear their own music.
Not everyone's music is the same. Mine seems to lead me into building stations or networks or to places where somebody needs help or even a rescue. I've had many colleagues who've stayed in the same place for a long time but have done pioneering research or created works of art or performance.
This year's student speaker was Forrest Haven, a social science major who graduated with a 3.99 grade point average. Originally from Metlakatla, Haven earned an associate's degree from the UAS Ketchikan campus before transferring to Juneau to earn her bachelor's degree. In preparing for her speech, she asked classmates what graduation means to them. She notes that the common theme seemed to be that getting an education allows graduates to be better people and do something for others.
One of the greatest things that I will take away from my educational experience here is the knowledge that we can affect change beyond ourselves. I don't mean we have to be Gandhi or Mother Teresa, but I am saying we, all of us, must remember that we are part of a community. Whether you see that community as Juneau, as the United States, or even as humanity.
Haven said her post-graduation plans include fishing, hunting, and pursuing a PhD in anthropology. Other speakers at UAS commencement included University of Alaska student regent Mari Freitag and UA system president Pat Gamble. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. Now a look at Sitka's own weather. Today it'll be partly cloudy, highs around 52, northwest wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight partly cloudy with lows around 38, and Wednesday partly cloudy, highs 53 to 61. You're listening to KCAW Sitka.